This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Well, Browns lost yesterday. We're not that angry. Some people saying we should be angry.
But Jameis, I'll say this about Jameis. He is not an excuse maker. I hear a lot of quarterbacks, not just Browns guys, all over the NFL, have a litany of excuses. That guy doesn't offer up any excuses. He's like,
no.
That's me. Yeah. Can't believe I did that.
There's no point. He knows. He's been around long enough. There's no point in making an excuse.
But I think that's part of why.
And for a guy who's known to say the right thing, he's saying the right thing.
I think that's also part of, and I don't want to make everything in comparison to former quarterbacks with the Browns. Deshaun Watson just gave you no perspective on anything, whether it was.
He's not a former quarterback. But he's still on the roster.
True. Whether it's in his life, the stuff that was happening to him, or on the football field, you got zero perspective. You got none of the whys. You know, you got none of the how did this happen? What was the problem? What were you seeing? He just rarely gave you that. Maybe sometimes on his podcast he was able to give you a little more, but that was it. He just never had a way to communicate to fans. Baker, granted, he was younger, and I think by all accounts, Baker's come a long way, but you did get a litany of excuses when Baker played poorly.
Yeah, he doesn't do it now.
No,
he doesn't do it now.
He's matured. I think he's come a long way.
I think he took enough of a beating in 2021, and then in Carolina, you know, LA, he started to come out of it, and now in Tampa, he doesn't need to make excuses because his play. I know he wasn't great on Sunday, but his play backs it up. So, I mean, you're getting a more mature leading Baker Mayfield than you did in Cleveland at that time. But you know, these are the decisions that we live with, like it or not, whether we support him or we didn't at that time. John Greco joins us now. He's a decision I support, bringing him on. He joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I don't know why I had to say it like that, but either way. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning to you. Are you mad? There's some people who said, we should be mad. I go, I might be mad on Monday morning because I think that they got another egg in them somewhere, but I don't think that this was an egg last night. I'm not happy that they lost, but... Well, and it is setting a low bar. I am entertained by what they did last night.
I'm with you. I mean, I'm less angry and upset than I typically would after a loss. But I think, you know, there were several records set. My God, it just seems like guys are wide open. And you know, Jameis missed a couple, but Jerry Jeudy had his revenge game. it was the most exciting Browns game I've seen in the last few years. I mean, it was high flying, a ton of yards. And I'm like, man, you know, they have that in them. What, you know, where is this coming from? So, you know, yeah, it sucks the outcome, but I think it was, I'd be a heck of a lot more mad and angry today if it was like Denver won 17-6, and there was the turnovers and they weren't scoring the points and you know, having the big plays. I think a lot of people would feel different about the game. I'm not happy they lost, trust me, but I think the way it all went down, I mean, if you score that many points and, you know, you're giving yourself a chance to win. So I think that's why people have a little bit more patience today, that you just kind of sit back and say, you know, here we are, the turnovers showed up again. And I think everyone's just accepted that that's the reality of what we have at quarterback right now. But at the same time, the guy set a franchise record for pass yards, and David Njoku set a touchdown record, and you just see these things show up. So I think that's maybe why I have a little bit more patience this morning. And maybe it was a Monday night game. It's Tuesday. My internal Browns clock is a little bit off. But yeah, just disappointed on the season, really, Ken and Anthony, and just this small sample size. It was too exciting of a game for me to be sitting here that angry this morning.
John Greco joining us on the show. If you were to grade the Ken Dorsey experience so far, what grade would you give it?
Oh, gosh. I would say B minus, because I'm still a little bit frustrated with the run game. And I don't really know, you know, there was a lot of people, you know, Lisa Salters was asking last night about, you know, where's Nick Chubb? And you know, the run game just looks different to me. And you know, I don't know why that is. I don't know if they're just trying to hold Nick Chubb back. But it just looks different than what we're used to in Cleveland the last few years. But, you know, that passing game sure as hell looked different. So I'm like, okay, you know, if they're not going to be this grinded out powerhouse, lean on you in the run game, but they're going to throw for 500 yards, okay, I'll accept that. But, you know, then there comes the turnovers. But I think the offensive line is starting to play a little bit better. And my God, you had how many different combinations of guys throughout this season. So I think it was tough to give anybody a solid evaluation with the revolving door of tackle, the injuries on the interior. You know, you're losing guys for the season. And they were just trying to find the right combination. So, you know, I've been a little impressed. And Ken Dorsey's not out there turning the ball over. He's just trying to do what he can to put the team in position to, you know, gain yards and score points. And they're doing that as of late. And Jameis is a big part of that. Obviously, the receivers, there's guys last night that were catching passes, that were catching first and second career passes. So you're like, okay, I'm watching this. I'm like, you know, there's some people that are making plays now that I didn't see earlier in the year. So that's why I give them the grade that I do, because the offense looks different. And, you know, that stat that they kept talking about last night, that the Browns, when they score over 18 points, those were the three wins, which is crazy to me. I mean, we were pounding the table. It's like, why can't they score three touchdowns? Why can't they score over 20 points? And the defense was playing so well throughout the season, and they just couldn't get it together. So now that all of a sudden they're this huge, you know, like WWE show where they're scoring at will and guys are running scot-free. So that's kind of my assessment right now on Ken Dorsey. Something is changing, and for whatever reason, whether it's Jameis or you having a lot of the O-linemen come back and healthy, and Jack Conklin's getting his legs back under him now, and the inside three seems to be solidified again, you know, I think you're seeing better offensive line play, and that's why this offense looks the way it does.
John Greco with us on the hotline. So Jameis dropped back 61 times unofficially, but I'm adding up the sacks plus the attempts, and only brought down three times. I thought pass protection was pretty darn good, especially when you're being asked to protect for that period of time over the course of a four-hour football game. What did you see?
Absolutely. And I got to be honest, I've been in games like that, but we're not throwing for 500 yards. And it's not a high scoring, like just trading touchdowns. It's because we're down and the run game is out the window and we're in emergency panic mode and just trying to throw. But I'll tell you this, you're right. Protection has been pretty good. And Jameis, I think we all know this. I know Troy Aikman joked about it last night, but he's more savvy in the pocket, and that comes with experience and just kind of his overall feel and that's just him. Where if something goes awry in the backfield in the pocket, he doesn't panic. He makes one or two steps and is able to just kind of reset and continue his focus downfield. But no, protection has been great, and the middle has been solid, and the guys on the edges have been controlling the depth and allowing Jameis to step into throws. So yeah, I've been impressed the way they've looked the past few weeks, and it comes back to what I was saying, Jack Conklin being in there and kind of, he looks healthy again, and the inside three guys, the two veterans and Ethan Pocic, playing well and solidifying the middle of the pocket. But yeah, I'm with you that when you're throwing that many times is generally not a good thing, but I think that the Browns, they were hitting guys, like I said, wide open, and they were converting first downs and making huge splash plays. So stick with it. And the running game was they tried to go back to it and try to go back to the well, but it just seemed like it was kind of stagnant. It wasn't going anywhere. And there were times that you'd think they'd break one and kind of help the pass game by drawing more people into the box, but they just couldn't get it going. So it was just a pass-heavy game. It was working. That's what they had to rely on. But I'm with you. I think it's been – protection's looked pretty clean for the most part, and it's allowing Jameis to have success.
Jameis Winston, John Greco joining us on the show. Jameis Winston, 2025. Are you in, or would you rather draft a quarterback right now?
I'm in. I said this last week. My God, it looks a hell of a lot better than it did, the first couple months of the season, doesn't it? And if you can win with Jameis, he's shown that. Now, he's started, what, 5 games, and he's 2-3. Am I correct?
I believe so, yes. Okay, they all run together.
Yeah, so, okay, I get that. They let's say he just started the season, they were going into the sixth week. They'd be 2-3. But, I think he gives you a really good chance to win. And if they can have this explosive of an offense and the defense plays like they have overall throughout this season, I think they're going to win some games. And it looks like, they took care of business in the division, and that's the quickest route to the playoffs. If you draft a young guy, we've seen it before, guys, haven't we? You just never know what you're going to get. And Bo Nix last night, he looked terrific at times, and there were some busted coverages and some penalties, but he threw some interceptions as well. And they talked about that stat where all of his interceptions, or the majority of them, came from when the Broncos were trailing. So yeah, any quarterback can play with the lead, and if you have a balanced offense. But I just think Jameis, being the veteran, he's such a unique guy and fun guy to watch and listen to, of course. My God, you never know what he's going to say. But it's authentic, it's genuine, it's him. But, hey, I think fans can live with that. And if he can win some games and the defense is healthy and playing well, and if they can manufacture some running offense and be a little bit more balanced, maybe the turnovers will come down a little bit if you're not asking him to throw 61 times. Why not, run him out there? Who knows what's going to happen with quarterback next year, if they're going to take a young guy, and obviously Deshaun is still on the roster. But if you told me right now that Jameis was going to be the week one starter in 2025, I'd say, whoever we're playing, I think they got to prepare, because we're going to be an attacking passing offense with hope a little bit of run game, and you got to buckle up on defense. So that's where I'm at.
Well, John, there's a guy I like, and I'd be willing to take him and keep Jameis Winston, to be honest with you. I don't know what I want to do with DTR. I could get to that later on in the show or something like that. Because, you know, some people are like, well, there's no sure things. I was like, well, there's rarely a sure thing. And honestly, John, like, how long have you been retired now?
This is 6 years.
Okay.
Six years.
So you were playing, when you were playing, there was like 10 to 15 guys who had rockets all over the place. And it was very hard to defend them. Offense was going crazy. And now it's like, man, there's like three guys, four guys maybe, that people are really excited about, and everybody else is trying to navigate their way through the woods. I think if we're sitting there, I don't want to just take Jameis because I'm afraid of the unknown in the first round or something like that, because I don't know if we're ever going to – I think it's going to be a while before we reach that level again with these quarterbacks where these guys come out and they are just, again, like they were when you were playing for the Browns and you were playing for the Giants, and there were these guys every single week that looked like a murderer's row up and down the AFC and NFC.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, if you look at the AFC, let's stick there. You know, Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh, he's a veteran. I'm sure he's got a lot left in the tank. But, you know, Lamar Jackson, there's not going to be many guys like him that come out each year, MVP-type caliber players. And obviously Patrick Mahomes. But you look at, you know, Josh Allen, guys that are built the way he is, that can run the way he does, that have the rocket of the arm. You're right, and I don't want to use Jameis as a cop out to like that. I'm nervous to draft a quarterback because I don't know. There's still, you know, championship games. There's still the playoffs, and you know we got to go through the combine and all that kind of nonsense to continue to evaluate these quarterbacks that we're picking from. But I'm with you. I just think, you know, let's assume this Browns front office and Kevin Stefanski are here next year. They can't afford another, off-season miss. So they better be damn sure that they pick the right guy. And I don't know who that is right now. You seem to think like who do you think that they should take? If let's just assume they take a quarterback.
Oh, quite frankly, I like Cam Ward. I think that okay. I know he's not 6'4". He's listed at 225, I want to say. So I think he's got pudding. He's either 220 or 225, somewhere in there. So he's got pudding. I think he could withstand the hits. And he's elevated every program he's played for. He's played a lot of college football. And I look at Bo Nix and go, you played a lot of college football. You had to deal with that craziness that was going on at Auburn. Then you went over to Oregon. You've done a good job there. You've elevated programs. I see a lot of the same thing. And I'm going, okay, if the coaching is there and – some people obviously question the coaching here, but if the coaching is there, you could get something out of this young man. I can't guarantee he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler all the time or an All-Pro, but I don't know if anybody can anymore with any of these guys.
Yeah, you're right, and it's just that's why it's such a dice roll taking these quarterbacks early when you have two or three that you're like, I think this guy can fit, and you kind of throw systems out the window because – I'm with you. I look at these guys coming out of college, and can they lead teams? And have they won a lot of games? Have they played a lot of snaps? Have they taken hits? Have they played in big games where, you know, I don't like when a guy never gets touched or is never under pressure. And it's like he just sits in these clean pockets his whole career and delivers it to just better athletes than the opposition. I want to see guys that are taking hits, you know, playing through adversity and then still having the numbers, because that's what they're going to see in the NFL. It's not going to be clean and pretty every week. And when guys come into the NFL and that's all they're used to, I think sometimes the game's too quick for them and they have to, you know, sit back a year or two and learn and adjust to the speed. But when a guy comes in and he says, hey, I'm used to this. This is nothing I haven't seen before. And I've led multiple offenses, played with multiple coaches, won a ton of games, played in a lot of games. So I'm with you on that.
John, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours. We'll talk to you again next week, my friend.
Guys, it's always fun. Good talking to you.
Yes, sir. John Greco joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Always fun, as he says. I thought of Ryan Day, of all people, last night. And I'm not at all.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm
Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ohio State thing. I had a person, I went to Axel's wrestling yesterday to pick him up from practice. And I told you, I got a buddy in town. Obviously, there's a lot of Ohio State fans in Streetsboro, Ohio. I mean, good God, it's a town in Ohio. But I got one buddy who's like really in. He's like, so they going to fire Day? And I'm like, probably not. Probably not. And he was like down that I said probably not. And I said, hey, you have every right. You know, it was basically the show that we did yesterday about Ryan Day. I'm watching that game yesterday. I go, this is where he belongs. The NFL is where he belongs. And I got it. You know where I thought about it yesterday? And I got mad because I thought I should have done it during the show. And maybe it crossed my mind, but I didn't have the wherewithal to say it yesterday in a four-hour show, and I felt bad about it. They're doing, because I was so focused on what Troy Aikman had said about Deshaun Watson, calling him the albatross. But before that, they are showing Kevin Stefanski. And guys, they said the coach of the year stuff. Not me. I know you guys all
two
go crazy.
Two times.
Yeah. But they're like, you know, this guy's such a great coach and this, that, and the other. And, you know, he took over a team with 12 straight losing seasons. And look what he's done. And I've said I've had a few criticisms of Kevin, obviously. But my biggest criticism of him has been he's a manager. He is not the type of fiery type of personality that is going to be able to dig them up from the doldrums. And that's fine if you have the quarterback. If you have the quarterback or you have the leader, he's able to get them going. Like, the Browns have not looked good in some of these games. Can I say they've rolled over and died with Jameis Winston? Not really, no. They've rolled over and died with another guy being their quarterback because, again, it's fake leadership. It's forced leadership. They know it. You can lie to the fans. Fans can lie to each other. You can lie to everybody else. You can't lie to them players. They know it all. They know. They might try to lie to themselves, but they know it in the end. And I'm going, if you have the right leaders there, you don't have to be that leader of men. Like, I think if Kevin Stefanski left the Browns and say they go, you know what? Lincoln Riley is leaving USC to go to the Chicago Bears. And you know what? Kevin Stefanski wants to go be the head coach at USC. I think it would be a total disaster and failure. Because Ryan Day, to me, is not the type of guy that goes in there and grabs people and leads them and builds them up. Like, he expects them to do that themselves. Kevin expects them to do that themselves. I go, this is an NFL coach in college football. He should be in the NFL.
Yeah, there are two different things.
Yes, he should be with professionals, not with guys. And I know they're getting paid. They're not professionals. They're not. They're in a lot of ways, we treat them as children. And you have to do that at times, and you have to build them up. In the NFL, you're not supposed to do that. And that's where I had that comparison. I'm sitting there thinking last night, I go, I wish I would have said that this morning. I'm writing all this stuff down. I'm watching this game and go, wish I would have said this morning. Because I go, Kevin Stefanski is an NFL coach. He would do terrible in college football. The only way he would do well is because he could scheme and he would have all the talent. Like, if Kevin Stefanski were the head coach at Ohio State, I think he'd do the same job Ryan Day does. I think he'd lose against the Michigan Wolverines. because I don't think he knows how to get them the right way. Maybe an overcorrection, because that's what Ryan Day has done. He hasn't taken it seriously enough, and then he overcorrects, and now they hold on too tightly. And I think that Kevin Stefanski might do the same thing. And I go, this is why he just needs to go. This is a Browns show today after the Browns loss. That's all I'm going to say. But I'm thinking, it's right there for you. Chicago, I don't know if anybody wants the Jets. The Giants, I don't know. It's right there for you. And this, guys, I'm not a Buckeye fan. It's not wishful thinking. It's a question of fit. It's a matter of fit.
I wonder if he's continually coming up short in the very few games where he goes up against similar talent. And by the way, that wasn't the case last Saturday. He had way more talent than his opponent. I do wonder how squeamish decision makers in the NFL would be about making Ryan Day your head coach. Maybe an offensive coordinator, but your head coach. That's tough, because especially when you're seeing the Dan Campbells of the world, you know, you're starting to see some of that in the NFL. And there's very few Pete Carrolls that could do both, right?
But
Jimmy Johnson.
I'm willing to bet Dan Campbell is one of those guys who could probably do both.
Interesting thought.
Texas A&M wanted him last year, but that's crazy. I mean, you got a chance to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. But I think Dan is cut from the same cloth as a Jimmy Johnson or a Pete Carroll in that case. That's kind of how I see it. But I think there's guys who are meant to coach in professional football with guys where that leadership is supposed to come from within, and that's expected. And I think that Ryan Day, this is all I'll say, it's a non-fit. Everybody should be a quote-unquote fit for a job that has that much stature, that much pay, that much pressure, but that much talent. Everybody should be that way. But I think we're seeing it right now. Hey, you've won a million games. You have an 800 win percentage going into Saturday. It's not a fit. It's not a fit. You would be a better fit with the Chicago Bears or any team that has an NFL logo. And I think that Kevin Stefanski is the same way. And I think there's certain guys who are cut out. Maybe Mike Vrabel's cut out for both. But, you know, we'll see in another way. 216-474-0092. Is Jameis the guy for 2025? You know, I said what I said to John just a second ago. I do. The more I've watched Cam Ward this year, the more I've liked him. This is going to turn into a broken record stuff, and I don't want to turn this into a draft show after a game. But I'll say this. He's actually listed at 223, so I was in the neighborhood. He's listed at 6'2", probably 6'1", somewhere in there. I think he's big enough to absorb the hits in the NFL, the punishment in the NFL. I think that he's had the leadership. I think that he's elevated the situations that he's been in. I mean, you know, his coach in Miami's been known to do some silly things, as we've seen here over the last couple of years, but he's elevated that program. And I think he's done a fantastic job as a college quarterback. I would go with him. But I also think that I would probably start the season with Jameis Winston. DTR is a fine enough young man. Deshaun Watson, I don't know how that situation is going to work out, how they get out of that contract, but I know I'm stuck with him in some fashion. But I can treat him as George Costanza and play now. Oh, you're on the roster, and you will get a paycheck, but we got to move on in a different direction. Because this whole, if we haven't seen it last year you could say, well, it was a flash in the pan, whatever. We're seeing it this year. I mean, they lost last night. People aren't that mad. And the reason they're using it is because at least the other guy isn't playing. Guys, it's that simple for you. So I can't allow that to permeate into my situation going into 2025. I can't give any more mulligans, and they're not going to get any more. So I would definitely be open, even after seeing last night in the up and down roller coaster that it is, the raging wolf bobs of a Jameis Winston situation. I will at least start the season with that next year. Yeah. I'm open to it.
Yeah, I mean, the there's good and bad there. The good is that you're going to have amazing performances like yesterday, where there's a ton of good and bad. Even in that amazing performance, it's going to be one for the history books. It also kind of validates that your receivers are nowhere near as bad as people thought they were, people like me. And also, you can overcome some issues, some injuries on your offensive line. The fact you have no running game. I mean, think about that for a second. You have zero running game, and yet, with everybody knowing what you're going to do on every down, you're still able to move the ball up and down the field and throw for, you know, 500 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty darn incredible, is it not, Kenny?
Yeah.
That everybody knew they had no chance to try to put that ball on the ground, any kind of ground control to wear a defense down that way. No, they waved the white flag on that and still moved the football up and down. And I think you're hoping, obviously, if you come back next year, you have more of a running back room that it's going to be credible. You're going to have decisions to make there with Nick Chubb, obviously, and just what you're going to do overall in the draft. But I do think that there is merit there. The bad part is I definitely think you have a limited ceiling. Like, I'm definitely not going into next year if Jameis is your starter.
I can't go back in with the same room. I can't.
What do you mean?
Jameis, DTR, Deshaun Watson.
I just mean there's nobody's going to be talking about the Browns in a Super Bowl window next year. Like, that's just not going to be part of the equation with Jameis as your
starter. But I got to be better than 3-whatever right now. Probably, 5-whatever it might be by the end of the year? Because I think he'll throw you into some wins by the end of this season. Be excited, Tone?
I'm not expecting much when it comes to Hard Knocks. I think it's definitely different from what we were saying 5 weeks ago when we're like, oh my God, this is coming off the rails. And can you imagine how this is going to look on Hard Knocks? And now I think it's just going to be a bunch of fun stuff with Jameis and the snow game. And last night was just an all-time thriller. I think it's just all going to be positive. I don't think you're going to even realize that the Browns are 3-9 on this show.
Well, if that's the case, then what's the point of watching in the future?
Well, that's why I'm going to go a step further. I have one requirement to keep me invested in this show, or I'm just never going to watch again.
I love the off-season Giants Hard Knocks. That was great.
Well, what did it do? Why did you like the Giants off-season Hard Knocks?
I think it let every fan act like they were a general manager, and I think that that's what it's been missing. Like, I got frankly bored with, hey, the Turk wants to see you. Like, hey, yeah, that's kind of how the gig goes. Hate to say it. Hate to see guys get cut, but I can only see that so much before I'm like, okay, I don't need to see that anymore.
But in this case, you got real behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yes.
That also shaped how people felt about the front office.
Yes.
And even though no team wants that, no team wants to sign up for that voluntarily to make themselves look bad. But I also think fans, there needs to be a bit of a bargain here. Like, fans need to get something out of this. And so I'm requiring this to keep my attention. And it's up to you guys what you guys want. But if they don't do a full in-depth over the coming weeks, is it just this month, Kenny? Or how many episodes are there?
Before the postseason starts.
If they don't take inventory on what happened with Deshaun Watson or where we're at with Deshaun Watson, if they don't go in depth about that, and if it's just ignored, then there's no reason to ever watch this show again, because then you're not getting anything. You're just getting a commercial. A protein commercial.
That's a herd of elephants in the room, not just one.
Yeah.
You have to address it.
Like, I don't know why any fan would want to sign up for that. Like, already the Browns produce their own behind-the-scenes stuff, and obviously it's very carefully curated. It's not going to give out
the
drop. But that's what I mean. With the Giants, it actually wasn't. Actually, phone conversations and stuff with Saquon Barkley that emerged from it was a real chronicle of what was going on.
And why I love it so much is still choose stuff they don't want you to see. The Giants chose stuff they didn't want you to see. They wanted you to see the Saquon Barkley stuff. It shows you the ego of the NFL. They did not think the Saquon Barkley decision was going to come back and bite them so hard. Not to anywhere near the degree that what it did. I mean, Saquon Barkley had 23 carries on Sunday, led them to victory. Jalen Hurts, I mean, it's just like what they were with Miles Sanders a couple of years ago, except better because Saquon Barkley is a better running back, and they've won 8 games in a row. The Giants, they let you see that because they thought they were going to win in the end. They thought that it was over, he wasn't worth that, and it turns out, boy, they couldn't have been more wrong. And now they're talking about firing Joe Shane, firing Brian Daboll, that whole deal.
Well, and I have to say, like, I'm not asking for them to dig up drama where there is none, or dig up dysfunction where there is none. I just said 2 weeks ago, you got really mad at me when I'm like, I don't know if it is the same old Browns. I don't know if there's dysfunction. It seems like they just they got sunk with the Deshaun Watson deal. That stuff is done, but they still seem to be operating at a level of a professional organization and all that. But what I do wonder, and I will always wonder this with fans, like, I think in the end the Giants, what, they're gonna fire everybody, right? With the Giants start over.
I mean,
over.
More than likely, yeah.
So I think their fans are appreciative that the truth got out. What do our fans want? Do our fans want very carefully considered, highly edited, non-flammable, everything is fine, or do they want the truth? If there is a truth. Well, do they? Because I think sometimes our fans want Andrew Berry to be propped up to a certain way in our organization like one of the great organizations in sports.
Not anymore.
Well, I think this one's going to be different, though, because normally you would get The Browns, so they did it, what, in 2018, whatever. You got the Browns fan base watching, and then some people around the NFL watching. Now you're going to have everyone in the Pittsburgh fan base watching, everyone in the Cincinnati fan base watching.
No, that's a good point.
And do you want your organization looking weak? And the only they're going to spend less time on it. So if the only thing they show is organizational dysfunction, it's not the greatest thing for you to look with the people that you have to work with and talk to about your rivalries every week.
And they're 3-9. I think they're looking for it because I think it bothered a lot of people to see the reports that they're all coming back. I don't think they do. I think the majority of Browns fans would like to move on from either or both when it comes to the head coach and general manager. You and I have different conversations about that, but I think the majority of people do not approve of the job that they're doing. I think they want a smoking gun. I'm not mad today. There's people who are mad that I'm not mad, that I'm entertained, that I would accept this garbage that's in front of me here. And I'm like, well, I'm entertained. I know that they're coming back. I think they want a smoking gun. You're not going to get it. But I think that they want something that they could use against it. And that's where I think that that's going to come into play. It's just not going to happen.
I'm not expecting, again,
damning evidence.
I'm not expecting a lot here, but I do wonder if fans are, and I think it depends on what type of fan you are, because I think every fan base is always split. You have the optimists over here. You have, you know, the delusional people over here. And then you have the bashers. Everything is doom and gloom over here. I think, you know, every fan base, we're not unique there. I think every fan base has a mix of that at all times. But I don't think anybody really, are you really looking for 3-9? Everything is fine. I don't know that people want that either.
No, but I think they want. So are you saying that I think they want like bad things to come out?
What, the fans?
Yeah.
I think the fans want to know what's really going on. And I don't know that they're going to get it anyway. But would you want it? If HBO had it, would you want that? Or do you want the organization to look fine? To look good?
No, I think they want it. I think they want,
because Owen brought up a good point. You're going to be trash talking. You just beat the Steelers. You beat Baltimore early in the year. You want those bragging rights. But do you really have bragging rights if your organization looks like it's third or fourth in the division? Or the coaching situation? Or if it seems like stuff is bubbling? Clearly stuff isn't bubbling because they're playing their asses off, at least.
Yeah,
on offense they are.
Well, see, this is what, because I'm not mad like I was 3 weeks ago, like when you got me going, because I'm looking at it from a different perspective now, because I think a lot of us are seeing the way Jameis is playing and this offense is moving. It's like, well, if they would have played him earlier or would have done this and that, like, no, they wouldn't be 10-2 or something like that. They might be 6-6. We might be right there in the thick of things. We might be doing 7-7 still. But instead, they're 3-9, and I think people want affirmed that. When they see 3-9, they can't imagine that everything is hunky-dory. Bad is bad, and they cannot imagine. They are shocked into a point because it's never been like that. It's almost like an insult that things could be working well in the building at 3-9.
They want to see evidence that
it's not.
You're right about that, but if last night's promo was any indication, it's going to be all smiles when this airs.
Well, one of the... How far back are they going? Are they going back to the Greenbrier? It's all smiles to the Greenbrier.
It says in season. So no, I that's think not it's the from week one.
And they said the cameras weren't there until like a week and a half ago.
Well, you can't be sad all the time.
Because it says it's running through January and into the playoffs. So I haven't seen a definitive end date. I don't know if they just stick around until the last AFC North team is eliminated or what.
We got a lot of people want to get in.